This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of sesamoid injuries of the hallux from the foot and ankle section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Sesamoid injuries of the hallux consist of a constellation of injuries to the sesamoid complex consisting of fractures, tendonitis, and ligamentous injuries. Diagnosis is suspected with hallux pain that is worse with hyperextension and can be confirmed with MRI studies. Treatment depends on the specific injury to the sesamoid complex, chronicity, and patient activity demands. Now, let's get into the episode. Specific injuries to the sesamoids of the hallux include fracture, which can be caused by hyperextension and axial loading, dislocation, sprain, otherwise known as turf toe, sesamoiditis from trauma or infection, chondromalacia, osteochondritis desiccans, and flexor hallucis brevis tendonitis. With respect to epidemiology, the tibial sesamoid is more commonly injured, as it has a greater weight-bearing status and it's larger than the lateral sesamoid. The mechanism for sesamoid injuries of the hallux is forced dorsiflexion of the first MTP. This is the most common mechanism. With this mechanism, there may be potential avulsion of the plantar plate off the base of the phalanx, as well as proximal migration of the sesamoids. Associated conditions with sesamoid injuries of the hallux include bilateral sesamoiditis, which should raise alarm and concern for Reiter's disease, which, remember, is urethritis, conjunctivitis / iritis, and inflammatory bowel disease. It should also raise alarm and concern for psoriatic arthritis and or seronegative rheumatoid arthritis. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. Specifically, we'll talk about osteology, attachments, and biomechanics related to the sesamoids. So with respect to the osteology, the sesamoids play an important role in the function of the great toes by absorbing weight-bearing pressure, reducing friction at the metatarsal head, protecting the flexor hallucis longus tendon as it glides between the sesamoids, and it provides a fulcrum for the flexor hallucis brevis that increases MTP flexion power. So again, the sesamoids play an important role in function of the great toes by absorbing weight-bearing pressure, reducing friction at the metatarsal head, protecting the flexor hallucis longus tendon as it glides between the sesamoids, and it also provides a fulcrum for the flexor hallucis brevis that increases MTP flexion power. Keep in mind that bipartite sesamoids are present in 10 to 25% of patients. 97% are in the tibial sesamoid and 25% are bilateral. With respect to attachments, the flexor hallucis brevis attaches to both the tibial and fibular sesamoid. Sesamoids are connected to each other by the intersesamoid ligament and the plantar plate. The abductor hallucis is connected to the tibial sesamoid, and the adductor hallucis is connected to the fibular sesamoid. As far as the biomechanics, sesamoid function is analogous to the patella as they increase the mechanical advantage of the flexor hallucis brevis. Moving on to the presentation of sesamoid injuries of the hallux, patients may have generalized big toe pain that is worse in the terminal part of the stance phase. On physical exam, you may notice a possible plantar flexed MTP with a cavus foot. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and a lateral of the foot, a medial oblique view, otherwise known as a sesamoid view, and an axial sesamoid view. As far as findings, if you see proximal migration of the sesamoids, be suspicious of an intrinsic minus hallux. A bone scan can help distinguish a bipartite sesamoid from a fracture. However, use caution with interpretation as 25 to 30% of asymptomatic patients can have increased uptake. Remember that increased uptake compared to the uninjured side helps in diagnosis. Treatment of sesamoid injuries of the hallux can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes NSAIDs, reduced weight-bearing, activity modification, and or orthoses, which are indicated as the first line of treatment. Other non-operative modalities include a short leg cast with toe extension. This can be indicated in the setting of an acute fracture, however, this is controversial. And another potential non-operative modality includes shaving a keratotic lesion, which is indicated when a keratotic lesion is present, which increases pressure on the sesamoids. Operative options include a partial or complete sesamoidectomy, autologous bone grafting, and or dorsiflexion osteotomy. A partial or complete sesamoidectomy is indicated when non-operative management fails after 3 to 12 months. We'll talk more about the technique in a moment. Autologous bone grafting is indicated for non-union or fracture, And a dorsiflexion osteotomy is indicated when there's a plantar flexed first ray with a sesamoid injury. So now let's talk about the surgical technique for a complete or partial sesamoidectomy. As far as approaches, we'll go over the approach to the tibial sesamoid and the approach to the fibular sesamoid. The approach to the tibial sesamoid is a medial plantar approach. Keep in mind that there is a high risk of injuring the proper branch of the medial plantar nerve. Again, there is a high risk of injuring the proper branch of the medial plantar nerve in the medial plantar approach, which is the approach to the tibial sesamoid. The approach to the fibular sesamoid is also a plantar approach, and beware for the proper branch to the lateral side of the hallux, as well as the first common branch to the first web space. As far as the technique, this may be a partial or a complete sesamoidectomy. Sesamoid shaving is a potential option, but keep in mind that this is contraindicated in a patient with a plantar flexed first metatarsal. Again, sesamoid shaving is contraindicated in a patient with a plantar flexed first metatarsal. Some complications to mention include a cock-up deformity, hallux valgus, and hallux varus. With respect to a cock-up deformity, removal of both sesamoids is associated with a high incidence of cock-up deformity of the great toe. This is caused by weakening of the flexor hallucis brevis tendon, which should be meticulously repaired after sesamoid excision. Remember that excision of both sesamoids should be avoided. Hallux valgus may be caused from tibial sesamoid excision, while hallux varus may be caused by fibular sesamoid excision. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, excision of the medial sesamoid of the great toe is indicated for which of the following presentations or procedures? And the choices are 1, coupled with the Lapidus procedure for hallux valgus, 2, recalcitrant medial sesamoid stress fracture with fragmentation, 3, acute medial sesamoid fracture, 4, coupled with the first metatarsophalangeal joint arthrodesis for hallux rigidus, and 5, Morton's neuroma. The correct answer to this question is 2, recalcitrant medial sesamoid stress fracture with fragmentation. So recalcitrant medial sesamoid fractures that have failed non-operative management are treated with a partial or complete sesamoidectomy. To quickly review, medial sesamoid stress fractures with fragmentation that have not responded to non-surgical management have done well after sesamoid excision. Stress fractures occur more often at the medial sesamoid, and females are mainly afflicted. When a stress fracture is suspected, bone scan and CT scan are suggested as more reliable in confirming the diagnosis than other imaging methods. Initial treatment almost always involves an accommodative orthosis, but surgical intervention may be necessary in recalcitrant cases. When conservative treatment has failed, surgical excision of the proximal fragment is recommended in some instances, whereas other instances may require removal of the entire sesamoid. Excision of both sesamoids is not recommended. Moving on to the next question. A 33-year-old woman has had plantar first metatarsophalangeal joint pain for 3 years. Examination reveals that she is tender under the medial sesamoid. She has no swelling or ecchymosis. The first metatarsophalangeal joint motion is equal and stable bilaterally. Radiographically, there is some fragmentation of the medial sesamoid with increased density in some of the fragments. Various orthotic and shoe modifications have failed to provide relief. What is the most appropriate management? And the choices are 1, first metatarsophalangeal joint arthrodesis, 2, open reduction and internal fixation of the medial sesamoid, 3, medial sesamoid excision, 4, shoe wear and heel height modifications, and 5, corticosteroid injection of the first metatarsophalangeal joint. The correct answer to this question is 3, medial sesamoid excision. So medial sesamoid stress fractures with fragmentation that have not responded to non-surgical management have done well after sesamoid excision. Excision of both sesamoids is not recommended. A first metatarsophalangeal joint arthrodesis is not going to resolve the issue of weight loading on the stress-fractured, fragmented sesamoid. Open reduction can be considered if there are two large fragments without osteonecrosis. Corticosteroid injection is not going to provide long-term relief. Shoe modifications have already been tried in this patient without relief. Moving on to the next question. The helical sesamoids are held together by which of the following structures? And the choices are 1, intersesamoid ligament, 2, intermetatarsal ligament, 3, spring ligament, 4, plantar fascia, and 5, flexor hallucis longus tendon. The correct answer to this question is 1, intersesamoid ligament. So the 2 sesamoids of the metatarsophalangeal joint are embedded in the tendons of the short flexor of the great toe. They are held together by the intersesamoid ligament and the plantar plate, which inserts on the base of the proximal phalanx of the hallux. The flexor hallucis longus tendon inserts onto the distal phalanx of the great toe. The plantar calcaneonavicular or spring ligament, by supporting the head of the talus, principally maintains the arch of the foot. The plantar fascia inserts distally onto the skin and to the flexor tendons and transverse metatarsal ligaments at each metatarsophalangeal joint. The intermetatarsal ligament attaches to the base of the 2nd through 5th metatarsals. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following structures is most vulnerable during a medial sesamoidectomy of the hallux? And the choices are 1, abductor hallucis tendon, 2, intermetatarsal ligament, 3, plantar medial cutaneous nerve of the hallux, 4, dorsal cutaneous nerve of the hallux, and 5, crista. The correct answer to this question is 3, plantar medial cutaneous nerve of the hallux. So the plantar medial cutaneous nerve is at risk with the surgical approach to the medial sesamoid. It is found directly underlying an incision made at the junction of the glabrous skin of the hallux and must be identified before the approach can proceed. Transection will result in a painful neuroma that impinges on the plantar medial surface of the toe and causes problems with shoe wear. The only other structure that lies near the surgical field is the abductor hallucis tendon, which lies dorsal to the incision. Moving on to the final question. What is the most common surgical complication of resection of both the medial or tibial and lateral or fibular helical sesamoids on the same foot for intractable keratosis? And the choices are 1, hallux varus deformity, 2, neuroma, 3, toe cock-up deformity, 4, recurrence of keratosis, and 5, hallux valgus deformity. The correct answer to this question is 3, toe cock-up deformity. So excision of both sesamoids should always be avoided since it can lead to a cock-up deformity, which is probably due to decreasing the moment arm of the flexor hallucis brevis. This MTP extension deformity leads to relative overpull of the flexors, causing IP joint flexion. Excision of the tibial sesamoid alone can lead to hallux valgus. Excision of the fibular sesamoid alone can lead to hallux varus. That's all for this review about sesamoid injuries of the hallux. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.